Hello and welcome back to the Keep Going Kat podcast. My name is Kat and I am your host. Today we are going to be talking about why restrictions make it so much harder to stay on track and what you should do instead. Let's get right into it. I want to start by saying thank you so much for all the love that you gave me on my last podcast. Last episode, I was discussing the miracle I witnessed, talking about the history of my mom and what I went through when I was 17, and just the feedback was so overwhelming. I just love you guys all so much. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back, give it a listen. If you are listening on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure that you rate this podcast. One of the best ways for me to get my message out there is having a high rating. So if you could just leave me a review, leave some stars. And if you super, super enjoy the podcast and want to just help me promote, take a screenshot of the episode you are listening to and share it to your story. Tag me. I absolutely love seeing that and it makes my day. So that's just a great free way that you can support this podcast. I think so many of us can relate to having done a really restrictive diet. I remember doing Whole30. I remember doing the Special K diet, the cereal diet when I was a teenager. Just like so many crazy diets. And I think depending on your age, I feel like every generation has one that stands out. And I think the routine is pretty much the same. You go into a diet with the best intention. You're like, I'm going to follow these guidelines. No carbs, no alcohol, no sugar starting Monday. Like, let's go. And then you get halfway through the week and the cravings start to set in. You're frustrated. You're tired. You're like, is this really even worth it? You end up binging on whatever it is that you're trying to restrict, and then you guilt and shame yourself, and then you're like, okay, I'll start over again on Monday. And that yo-yo process just starts again. And I just really want to see where you are. Like, this isn't to make anyone feel ashamed or guilty. This is to acknowledge that that is how the industry is set up. The industry is set up to give you some extreme parameters. Maybe you get some quick results, and then they keep you stuck. And in the cycle of gain, lose, gain, lose, gain, lose. And this is where I think that the KGK program is set apart and why my clients see the results that they do is because we're not trying to restrict. We're trying to be more aware and conscious of how we can fuel our bodies in a way that feels really good and how we can avoid feeling restricted. I truly believe that the more restrictive you are, the harder it is to stay on track. So yes, like every diet works, you know, Weight Watchers works by, you know, points, and, you know, fruits and vegetables are 0 points where something else is a lot more points and it forces you to eat a lot of volume and lowers your calories. Whole30, you're removing all of the processed foods and therefore creating a calorie deficit. Keto, you're cutting out all of the carbs and creating a calorie deficit, where if you like carbs and you want to eat carbs, keto is not going to be the choice for you. If you, you know, are frustrated tracking points every day, Weight Watchers isn't going to be right for you. Whole30, if you like to eat some processed foods, that's not going to work for you. I think that what you have to look at is your overall habits and create a plan that is going to actually coincide and work with your real life. So if you create a forbidden fruit and you're like, okay, I'm not going to eat any dessert for 90 days, all you're going to think about is dessert. That's all you're going to want. And so I tell my clients, allow for the things that you want and adjust the rest of your food. So for example, if you're currently eating 2,000 calories plus a day, just simply reducing your calories by a few hundred a day is going to create a deficit. It doesn't have to be 1,200 or 1,400 calories a day. Just looking at where am I landing currently and how can I reduce my calories just slightly, how can I increase my movement just slightly, will create far more results than trying to be super restrictive. When you have a lot of restrictions and you're trying to do something pretty extreme, the rate in which you're able to adhere, so the amount of time that you're actually able to check that box and give it your all, is going to be really low. But if what you're doing is sustainable, it's approachable, then you're going to be able to adhere a lot more of the time. And that's the key. If you can, you know, be really consistent about being in a slight deficit for a long period of time, then you will see results. I made a post recently talking about how some people will say, oh, I only lost 4 pounds this month, you know, 1 pound a week. But if you lose 1 pound a week for a year, that's 52 pounds. That's a significant amount of weight. But we get so close to our results that we're like, what is happening right now? And we're not thinking about the long term. Where it took me 7 months to lose 65 pounds. And, you know, even in now as the professional that I am, that was really fast. And it doesn't even have to be that fast. I actually have a client. She sent me a progress photo recently where she had lost about 60 pounds with me in the 90 days. And then now several years later, she is 146 pounds down. So if you follow me on Instagram, you can go and see her before and after photo in my highlights. And it's incredible. But what we were talking about was like, you don't have to get to that 146 pounds down in 90 days or even in a year. It took her a few years, but the loss and the results that she got were so sustainable that she doesn't have to worry about it creeping back on because she made sustainable lifestyle changes. So the more restrictive you are, the less likely you are to sustain whatever you are doing. So whatever diet program you are doing, if you don't see yourself doing that for 5 years, your results are going to be temporary. You're not going to keep those results. Food cravings are going to happen. And I find what happens when you try to avoid whatever item that you're craving, you'll end up consuming a lot of calories of other things. So if you just want a bowl of ice cream, and instead you're like, you know what, I'm going to make myself a yogurt parfait, and I'm going to get some yogurt, and I'm going to put some granola, and then some chocolate sauce, and try to make it into this dessert, and then you end up snacking on a bunch of other things because it just didn't do it for you. Calorie-wise, you would probably be better off just giving yourself a small portion of ice cream and then moving on with your life. It's creating that forbidden fruit. And, you know, if you know your Bible, you know what happened to Eve. Like, creating that forbidden fruit is going to be really difficult. You're going to be tempted. You're going to want to eat that item. And then that's how binges happen. So the more we withdraw, the more we restrict, the more likely you are to just go crazy. And I've heard so many women tell me those kind of stories of like, okay, I was on track all week with my diet program. I was being, you know, really on it and avoiding all of the foods that I normally go crazy on. And then the weekend hit and I just binged. And that is what will happen if you are trying to avoid foods that you love. Now, I'm not saying you can eat whatever you want, as much as you want, and you're going to see results. The only way to create fat loss is by being in a caloric deficit. So if we think of our body like a bank account, you need to be spending being your movement more than you are earning being your food. But that doesn't mean that you need to eat less. You would be better off trying to get as most bang for your buck as possible. So let's use a donut, for example. Let's say a donut is around 350 calories. And for 350 calories, you could also have a couple of eggs, some breakfast potatoes, and a few pieces of turkey bacon. Now, one meal, as far as volume goes, is going to be a lot more filling, right? So the eggs, the breakfast potatoes, and the turkey bacon will fill you up because it just takes up more space in your stomach. It also has a higher protein content. But if you are craving a donut and there is nothing more in the world in that moment that you want a donut, just have the darn donut. But the thing is, I know me, I could eat 3 donuts, no problem. I could not eat 3 plates of the egg, the breakfast potatoes, and the turkey bacon. It would just be too much volume. So if you want to have the treat, have it, and then eat something high protein after that's going to sustain you. Because some food is meant for flavor and some food is meant to satiate you. So the egg, potato, and turkey bacon would be very satiating. It will fill you up. But the donut is a high flavor payout item. And so we need a balance of both. If you try to remove all of those high flavor food items from your intake, you're going to get sad and you're going to end up having them anyway. It's like when you're a mom and you're cooking dinner and your kids comes into the kitchen and they're like, can I have some chips? And you're like, nope, hold on, dinner's coming. Or yes, have a small portion, but don't try to fill up on that. So it would take a lot of volume of ultra processed food to make you feel full. It's so easy to be consuming a massive amount of calories of ultra processed food without feeling full. I think about, you know, how some people are like, well, I just don't eat that much. I don't understand why I am not losing weight. And they're having, you know, a sweetened coffee and a pastry for breakfast. They're having, you know, a Chick-fil-A sandwich for lunch. And then they're having, you know, a salad for dinner to try to balance it out. When, yeah, you might not have eaten that much volume of food, but calorie-wise, it would be easy to be over 2,000 calories the day of intake like that. Where instead, if you were to have like a veggie breakfast scramble, some turkey sausage in the morning, you had some yogurt and berries as a snack, you have a big old vegetable soup and some sourdough bread for lunch, and then you have, say, like a piece of salmon or something for dinner, that would be a ton of volume of food and still be under 2,000 calories. So I tell my clients, it's not about eating less. It's about eating more volume of the foods that will actually fill you up. Actually in volume will fill you up. And then you would have space to have a little something sweet after dinner or in the afternoon when you're craving it. But if you avoid having those high flavor, you know, tasty treats that you look forward to, you're going to get to a breaking point. Restrictive dieting often feels challenging because it leads to increased cravings. That feeling of deprivation and that difficulty sustaining the imposed limitations, it will negatively impact your mood. Like, you're gonna feel like you're in a bad mood if you're like, you love something and you're a chocolate girly and you love to have a little something sweet at the end of the day and you're telling yourself no. So I would rather my clients include foods like that in their intake and then adjust the foods around it. So, you know, when it comes to calorie tracking, I tell my clients to enter in the foods that they love first, enter in the meals that you care about the most, and then adjust the rest of the meals around it. So in my program, I don't expect my clients to track calories for the full 90 days. I don't think lifetime calorie tracking is sustainable. We do what's called a calorie audit. So for 2 weeks, I have you track everything that you're regularly eating in a day, and then I can provide a recommendation. We can see where you're currently landing on average and then make those adjustments. So for example, one of my clients realized she was putting over 300 calories worth of coffee creamer in her coffee every morning. That was a really easy thing for her to switch, where I had another client making almost a 700 calorie smoothie. So you can be eating very nutrient dense foods and still be consuming too many calories for your weight loss goals. So this is where I help my clients identify what are the foods that are eating up your calories. So if we're thinking of our calories like Dave Ramsey cash envelopes every day, what are the foods that are eating up your calories that we can make adjustments to? What are the foods that you care about the most? So, you know, me being a mom, I like to have dinner with my family. I don't want to have a separate meal. So I allow for those calories first. And then, you know, I'm not mad at eating some hard-boiled eggs and cottage cheese for breakfast if we're having homemade pizza for dinner. I would rather save my calories for that. So it's about prioritizing the foods that you want the most and avoiding restricting foods that you love, allowing for portions of foods that make sense. So then you don't have those days where you're just going crazy because, you know, we've told ourselves, okay, well, starting Monday, I'm going on this diet, so I might as well go off today before I start doing these restrictions. I I hope you enjoyed this Quick Tip Tuesday episode. My plan is to start getting out one longer episode each week and one Quick Tip Tuesday episode so you can listen in, get some applicable advice, and be ready to rock it. I also wanted to invite you to join me in my new program, Snatched for Spring. We are kicking off April 1st, 2024. This is going to be an amazing 6-week challenge. If you are interested in joining this program, head over to keepgoingcat.com/snatched, and you can get access to this brand new program hosted on the KGK app. I hope you have the most amazing day. I love you all. Bye.